science, talk about the origin of life. Look what it says. Swirling in the waters of the ocean is a bubbling broth of complex chemicals, and it describes them. The progress from a complex chemical soup to a living organism is very slow. Well, I'd say it's so slow it still hadn't even happened, you know. But it's really, really slow. But here's the deal. They can believe that if they want to, but it's not science. That's the problem. Question number two, where did I come from? Well, for an evolutionist, they say there was this explosion that happened billions of years ago. Nobody knows what it was, but something blew up. And then out of this rubble, everything slowly shows up and things get better over time. And here we are. They can believe that way if they want to, but it's not science. Look at this article right here. Scientific American ladling out the latest about life's origin. Folks, do you realize they don't have a clue? They don't have a clue about how life began out there. Anything about how it started, anything about it at all. But yet it's taught as a fact in a textbook all too often. And it's sobering to see what happens. Watch this thing. Discover Magazine. No such thing as a black hole. New theories question just about everything we thought we knew about nature's bottomless pit. Look at this. This is amazing to me, folks. Understand something. I've got thousands of articles on this kind of stuff. It's talking about how even in current time where they don't have a clue at what it is they're talking about. But all too often it's presented as a fact when it's presented in, you know, in a textbook or a museum display or a McDonald's Happy Meal cup or whatever. Everybody sees that stuff all the time. They assume it's true, but it's not true at all. It's just what they happen to believe. How about here's another example. Watch this. About a year ago, look what it says. Pluto comes into focus. Okay, look what this thing says. First of all, look at this. Well, Pluto comes into focus. They have this beautiful image right here, right? But look what it says down here. An artist's conception of New Horizons' July arrival and the latest images of Pluto. Okay, here is what they're showing everybody, and here are the actual images of what they have. You see, there's just a little bit of make-believe going on in a lot of this stuff. And folks, it's presented factual. People see something, they assume it must be true, and it's not true at all. It's just absolutely amazing. Anyway, we had a chance to go see that rocket actually launch. It was when it launched out here. But anyway, they know it takes life to produce life. Now watch this. There's a lot of attention these days on the idea that E.T. put life on this planet. Well, folks, anybody is free to believe that extraterrestrials put life on this planet if they want to, and then they went and took off, went and put life elsewhere if they want to. They can believe anything they want to, but it doesn't mean it's true. It doesn't mean it's science. It just means they believe it, that's all. Look at this article. Science News was writing about how E.T. put life on this planet. And look at this. This is a really cool statement right here because it's true. If we are to understand the origin of life, we have to know what it is we started with. You know, folks, there's a lot of truth in that. Do you realize a person can never come to an understanding of truth about life unless they know what it is it started with? If they leave the start out, they get the start wrong, it's all over. Question number three, why am I here? For an evolutionist, think about this for a minute. If evolution is true, what is the purpose of life? Where do values and morals and decency and right and wrong and all that kind of stuff come from? Do you realize if evolution is true and we're just here by one big gigantic accident, then what would be wrong with living a humanistic philosophy life? You know, you only go around once. If it feels good, do it. Let your heart be your guide. Go for all the gusto you can. Folks, if evolution is true, nothing really matters at that point. You're lucky to be here. So party. And that's why people are living that way. They say, what happens when we die? You and I are flesh and blood, but we are also stardust. They say, we're just stardust. Get put in the ground, rot away, it's over with. Folks, people are free to live that way, and they are. We're being taught, we're teaching our kids these days, for the last few generations anyway even, that you're just lucky to be here. You're an accident. Party, have some fun while you're here. And we're wondering why people are living a life of party while you're here. It's just self-indulgence, man. Look at this one. Scientific American, the seemingly simple question, what exactly defines life? The definition of life is an elusive thing. Folks, they don't have a clue. Now, a creationist worldview is quite a bit different than that. The first verse in the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, folks, think it through. If God created it, he's the boss. He's the master. He makes the rules. Do you realize people don't want accountability anymore? They don't like accountability to God, especially. They don't want to say there is a God. No, I don't want anything to do. Folks, but that doesn't take it away. That doesn't take the issue away. But here's the problem. People don't like it. But you know what? There is no new thing under the sun. There's nothing new. Do you know the first time you see the devil in the Bible, first time you see the devil in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 3. Verse number 1, he goes up to Eve and says, yea, hath God said ye should not eat of every tree in the garden? As a question. Now think about something. The first time you see the devil in the Bible is in Genesis 3, verse number 1, and it says, did God say something? A doubt, a question, doubt. Once doubt is in place, you can take the next step. You shall not surely die. See, God said you're going to die. The devil says, no, you're not going to die. Folks, once doubt is in place, you could take the next step, deny, reject. What God said can't possibly be true, especially today. It's 2016, you know. Hey, third thing the devil says, the day that you eat of that fruit, ye shall be as gods. Ooh, knowing good and evil. Ooh, I could be my own boss. Folks, do you realize that is our society right there, right now? Question the idea in the first place. Refuse it in the second place. Be your own boss in the third place. You leave me alone, I'll leave you alone, and we'll just all live happy ever after. Folks, that's nonsense stuff. But that is exactly the tactic that was used to the very first people on this planet, and it's still being used with the same MO today. They're saying that humans will eventually evolve into an all-powerful God, knowing everything. Ooh, teaching the exact same thing oftentimes. Folks, the devil is the master liar. We've got to understand something. The devil is not going to step up and say, hey, man, I'm the devil. Follow me to hell. You're going to burn. Come on. It's miserable. Let's go. Come on. He's not going to do that. Folks, what he does, he makes it very subtle. Very subtle. You know, make everything seem like it's okay. Hey, here's a very, very important statement. The worst place for anybody to ever be is to think they're right with God when they are not. Because if they think they're right, they can't get right because they already think that they are. And folks, that's why it is imperative. Listen, it is imperative. We teach our kids as much truth as we can when they're about this big. Because you know, all too often, folks, we just expect somebody else to do it. Listen, when your child fails, it's not the pastor's fault. When your child walks away from God, don't blame the Sunday school teacher. Folks, it's got to start in the home. The Sunday school teacher is not designed to teach your children anything. The Sunday school teacher is just supposed to reinforce what's already being taught at the house. And oh, we're just so far away from it these days. It's crazy. It's crazy. And again, if you're right with God, well, that's good. But what are you doing for it? Folks, what are you doing with your life that is going to matter in eternity? What are we doing? You know, the reality is too many people have too much time, and they're doing too many things that just matter too little. People are spinning their wheels doing nothing for God, calling themselves Christian. Christ-like along the way. That doesn't make any sense at all if you think about it. You know, evolution is not science, folks. It is a religion by definition. Check this out. And they know it themselves. This is an evolutionist philosopher right here. Listen to this quote of his. Evolution is promoted by its practitioners as more than mere science. Evolution is promulgated as an ideology, a secular religion, a full-fledged alternative to Christianity with meaning and morality. Evolution is a religion. By definition, it is. Random House Dictionary. Religion is a set of beliefs concerning the cause, nature, and purpose of the universe. Folks, that is exactly what evolution is. It is a set of beliefs about this place. Understand something. Please let this settle deep down inside. You got to understand, when a person is receiving what evolution has to teach, it is not just a science issue. It is not just another way of looking at things. Folks, it is a religious worldview that is conflict, directly head-to-head battle against Christianity. That's sobering. And we wonder oftentimes why so many children, as they grow up, they leave the house, they leave church too. And we wonder what's going on. Folks, it is a serious, serious thing. I have people tell me all the time, yeah, my son went to college and it destroyed him. Well, this is the exact topic that took my daughter away when she went to college. Folks, college never destroyed anybody. College was the final straw. The destruction started when they were about this big. You got to understand, folks, we've got to give our kids as much truth as honest and true and right and wholesome as we possibly can. It's so important. You'll always hear about creation evolution as a religion versus science topic, but that's not true at all. Folks, it is religion versus religion, science versus science. We happen to have all the science on our side. They have nothing but religion on their side. To be science, you must be able to observe it, test it, do an experiment, get your hands on it, repeat it, do it again, and all that kind of stuff. That's what makes something science. This article, you know, science publications, I'm going to show you just a few of these kind of things, but please understand, this is serious. This is deep. Look at this. This one says, evolution should be taught to all students. Anti-evolution movement lives on. Here's another one. Climate in the classroom. Evolution is not the only scientific idea being kept out of the curriculum. Folks, I've been to just schools all across this country. There is no public setting where evolution is kept out of the curriculum. But these kind of articles are written to incite anger against people like us. It's serious, and most people don't have a clue this kind of stuff is taking place. But yet we wonder, what is the problem? Folks, they've been pushing this for a long time, man. Here's another one, Science News writing. Repeat performance, too many studies when replicated failed to pass muster. We're always in a gray area between perfect truth and complete falsehood. And nobody knows that. Folks, they don't have a clue about any of this stuff. But yet it's taught factual to our kids, and the ridicule is towards us. And we wonder what's going on with them. And it's just amazing to me. Anyway, I want to show you this. This is a Wasserman biology. This is a 10th grade, 9th grade in some classes, but in some schools, but biology textbook. In the introduction of the book, Okay, they come out and say on page 7, the understanding of this process of evolution has considerably broadened man's knowledge of biology. It has provided explanations of many puzzling events and relationships. The influence of Darwin's theory and subsequent biological discoveries has spread far beyond the field of biology. It has also changed the way man looks at himself and at his universe. It has changed his view of his relationship with other living things to a certain extent. It has also colored his deepest religious and moral beliefs. Now, folks, I find this sobering. In the introduction of this biology textbook, it says the content and the context of this book is going to color your deepest religious and moral beliefs. And then they go for 400 pages for 12 to 15 years and do just that. And we look back a couple of generations later when everything's falling apart, we ask ourselves what's gone wrong. Folks, this is not hard to figure out. Do you know the devil knows full well if Genesis crumbles, Christianity will follow? If the first verse of the first chapter of the first book in the Bible is incorrect, or has no clear teaching, what good is anything else? You know, think about this way. You have a garden, beautiful garden, awesome stuff coming up. And next thing you know, here come a bunch of weeds. Okay, you can wait 2, 3, 4 weeks later if you want to and trim those weeds at the top. You are never going to solve that weed problem unless you get down there and you get it right where it started. You take it out at the start, you get the whole thing. Well, folks, the devil wants to attack God's word. Why would he start his attack on page 863? That makes no sense. If he's going to attack it, attack right where it starts. And that's exactly what he's been doing and having an absolute field day with it. We always get this because of the nature of the topic. People say creation evolution is just a side issue in the church. Not all that important. Folks, it's not a side issue in the church. It is the issue, not only in the church, but in everything. Do you realize ultimately everything goes back to either there is a God or there's not? Every decision ultimately goes back into one of those two categories. That's not a side topic, folks. It cuts right down the core of everything. The Lord says, John 17:17, thy word is truth. Folks, it doesn't contain truth, the Bible. It is truth. We've got to understand that. As a matter of fact, the Lord himself, now I want you to think about this. John 5:46, the Lord says, for had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? Folks, understand something. The God who spoke this place into existence is now walking this planet. Okay, he certainly remembers what he did. He said, if a person doesn't believe what Moses wrote, now you'll notice he didn't say you need to believe Moses wrote something. He said, you need to believe what Moses wrote, or you can't believe him either. Well, that's pretty heavy duty right there. Folks, God only did one thing. He only inspired one writer to write one thing. That writer wrote that one thing. Therefore, for us to say it doesn't matter what we about it. Whoa, all of a sudden now we got a big problem. That's a problem. No, it matters. Now I want you to see this one too, because this is the end of December 2013. Is God dying? These are science publications, folks. This is amazing. The decline of religion and the rise of knowns. Knowns are people with no religious affiliation. Now, folks, these science publications for the last many years, really it started in 1999, I wish I had time to get into all of that, but they have been pushing this issue so hard, steering the public away from God, and now they are bragging about how successful it's been. And folks, I just got to move on. But anyway, it's sobering. It's sobering. Now, we carry a lot of textbooks with us. Normally, when we do a full meeting, we have a table set up. We have I have 350 fossils set out, some books and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, we have a Raven Johnson biology textbook, very, very popular biology book. And the end of every chapter gives the evolutionary viewpoint. Now, they never give anybody else's viewpoint, but anyway, watch this now. The theory of evolution by natural selection forms the backbone of biology as a science. Now, watch what this thing says. They're saying the backbone of an entire field of science known as biology is evolution. All right? The details of how evolution operates have been and continue to be a source of lively discussion among biologists. Folks, it's worse than lively discussion. It's outright war among biologists. They don't agree with each other. But let me ask you a question. How can something be considered the backbone of an entire field of science if they don't know anything about how it operates? There's certainly no observation. There's certainly no testing. But it shouldn't surprise us. Look at the first page in the book, chapter number 1. Evolution is the core of the science of biology. Now, folks, this is sobering to me. Understand something. First off, there's nothing wrong with biology. There's nothing wrong with studying living things, okay? There's nothing wrong with studying the parts of an apple or to graft a fruit limb on a fruit tree. Or there's nothing wrong with studying how your heart pumps blood throughout your body and gets the oxygen in there. There's nothing wrong with studying living things. But to say evolution has anything to do with it is wrong, much less that it's the core and the backbone of it. Because how could you study biology then if you were to take evolution out of the picture? What is it going to stand on? Folks, the truth of the matter is, evolution has nothing to do with biology, much less it's the core and the backbone of it. But it's revealing as to the mindset, by and large, of the people that put the books together that our kids are forced to learn from. That's why it is important that we get Christians in the systems to help straighten some of the mess out and tone them, you know, and it's just... Now watch this one. It's hard to imagine one kind of animal evolving into another kind. Half kitty cat, half dog, saying meow. This fish jumps out of the bowl, turns into a frog. Folks, about 2 years ago, I guess it was, year and a half, whatever it was. Two years ago. Boy, time moves so fast. Anyway, I was at University of Texas down in Permian Basin, down in the Valley of Texas, okay? And I showed that slide. I showed this slide right here. And now I'm facing this way, and I'm reading this slide at the university here, and there's a male voice, a guy's voice from over here. There are about 200, 250 people in attendance. And a guy's voice from over here just yells out, "That's just a kid's coloring book." I looked that way. I didn't have a clue who it was. I looked that way. I said, "Well, thank you, sir, for pointing that out. I've never noticed that before." But anyway, I just kept reading. It says, "Scientists think that over millions of years, a whole new kind of plant or animal can develop from an earlier kind." Well, there are two things here. They can think that all they want. That makes it a belief. But can you have something turn into something else? Now, folks, people say this to me all the time. I get all the time people say, "Well, God used evolution, didn't he? Did God use evolution?" I had a guy one time, big fella came in. We were setting up on Saturday to get ready for Sunday morning, and the big guy comes in. He says, he introduced himself. He says, "Well, my God is a big God." And I looked at him and said, "Whoa, you've got a big God." He was really proud, you know. He said, "My God could use evolution if he wanted to." I said, "Sir, you have a big God." I said, "But it's really sad. You don't have the God of the Bible." Well, now this guy got mad at me, and he's, "What are you talking about? He's God. He can do whatever he wants." I said, "Listen, I know where you think you're coming from, but what you're saying is totally wrong." He's like, "What are you talking about?" I said, "God could never have used evolution. That's impossible." He said, "What are you talking about, man? He's God. He can do whatever he wants to do." I said, "No, that's not true. You know, the Bible says God cannot lie, right? God cannot lie. Folks, not once, not twice, not even three or four times, not even five, not even six, not even seven or eight, not even nine, 10 times in just the first chapter of the Bible, God says everything reproduces after his kind, after his kind, after his kind, after his kind, after his kind. You know, if God told us something one time, he meant it or he'd have never said it. If he tells us something twice, this is important. He reinforced this thing. If he tells us something three times, this is big. If he tells us something 10 times, I think we can rest assured that's exactly the way it is. I wonder, do we have any science for that? I wonder if you could actually observe it. Yeah, everybody that ever had a dog give birth, you saw they were all dogs, not cats. Everybody that ever planted tomatoes, you got tomatoes to grow on that, not cabbage. Folks, do you realize what God says is 100% absolutely scientifically verified trillions of times every year? And they say, "We don't have any science." That's just not true. Only one of these two are true. Either there was a big bang, simple life forms form, getting better and better, on our way toward godhood. And some folks can hardly wait to arrive in their minds. But the big bang, you know, or the creation account is true. This place was perfect, very good in God's eye. That's an awesome service there. Anyway, and sin enters the world. The fall of man headed to hell for not saved. Folks, do you realize those lines go opposite directions of each other? God is not, could not, would not, did not use a method that violates what he says he did. He's not going to do one thing and tells us he does something else. That would be a lie. He's not going to do that. So it's impossible. But anyway, then I show this slide here. Reptiles are also the ancestors of first mammals. This guy yells it out again. "That's just a kid's coloring book." I just turned that way. I looked and said, "Well, thank you, sir. I've never noticed that before. Thank you." Anyway, I said, "Which were little shrew-like creatures, little rat-looking thing." He yells out, "It's not a rat." I'm starting to hone in on this guy because I'm thinking this is going to get to be a habit, you know. And so finally I get it honed in on pretty much where he is. I said, "No, sir, I didn't say it was a rat. I said it's a rat-looking creature." You know, I just kept going. From these, all of the mammals evolved, dogs, cats, mice, horse, whales, monkeys, apes, even human beings. They say, "We came from some rat-looking creature." Now I turned because I knew he was going to say something. He yells it out, "It's not a rat." Now we're looking eyeball to eyeball. And I said, "No, sir, it's not a rat. I didn't say it was a rat. I said it was a rat-looking creature. But I thank you for pointing that out." He said, he's looking right at me now. He says, "What's your point? That's just a kid's coloring book." I said, "Thank you, sir. You just made my point for me. It's just a kid's coloring book." But you know what? They put it in science literature for science-minded people. They do it many times. They do it every other year or so. They put it in science literature for science-minded people. Oh, yes. In fact, they put it in fun places for fun people to go and have fun at it. I said, "Yes, sir. You know, it's true. It's just a kid's coloring book." Here's the problem, folks. We got to understand something. Do you realize the most brilliant minds this planet has to offer believe some of the most nonsensical things this planet has to offer? How's that possible, Bob? The reason is it started when they were only about this big. You got to understand something. It's not just a kid's coloring book. It's not just a kid's video game. It's not just a cute little cartoon. It's not just a cute little book. Folks, you got to understand something. It is laying the foundation for what they plan on for the future as the child grows up. I said, thank you, sir, for pointing that out. You did a perfect job for him. This guy, man, he just got red as could be and just slithered under the floor, man. I never saw him anymore. But all these people that thought he got me all of a sudden realized, not so. But anyway, look at this thing. This is Scientific American. When science doesn't support beliefs, then ideology needs to give way. Okay, wait a minute. Let's just take what they use to ridicule people like me and apply it to what it is they teach as evolution. Folks, if there is no science, no observation or testing, well, where's the observation of test or testing that a little rat-looking creature can turn into a human? If there is no observation, there is no science, there is no testing, then that ideology needs to give way. If they would just apply the same statement they use to ridicule people like me and apply it to what it is they're teaching, well, they'd have to bag it. You know, the Bible says, New Testament even, all flesh is not the same flesh. One kind of flesh of men, another beast, another fish, another bird. The Bible says in the New Testament even, everything is different. Folks, the evidence confirms everything is different. Now, this is a very, very popular biology textbook. Good chance it's used in this community. Very popular book. Anyway, they're talking about this tree thinking idea, that something goes back to something else. Look at what this thing says. Look back in time, you'll find common ancestors shared by tigers, panthers, and cheetahs. Farther back, you'll find common ancestors that these felines shared with dogs, then horses, then bats. Farther back still is the common ancestor that all mammals share with birds, alligators, and fish. Far enough back are common ancestors of all living things. Well, folks, I would dare say that's preposterous. Can a person believe that as an article of faith? Yes, that's religion by definition. Is there observation and testing for that? No, that's not science. But, folks, that's what's being taught as science these days. It's amazing. Now, I want to show you this real quick, and I want to encourage you about something. Folks, I do a lot of public setting stuff, okay? And whether it's in a church setting or a radio show or a secular university, it doesn't matter, high school, doesn't matter to me. And I want to encourage you with this. Always, if you're going to talk about the Bible with somebody, stick to what the Bible says. Okay, don't let them define the terms. Now, what I mean by that in this case is, I say everything reproduces after his kind, because that's what the Bible says. People ask me all the time, what is a kind? Is that a family? Is that a species? I say, that's real simple. It's a kind. I mean, anybody can take the cattle kind and the apple kind and clearly see there's a difference, you know? But what do their words mean anyway? Now watch this. This was way back in 2001, Science News, talking about new butterfly species. Look what it says here. Before plunging too deeply into the mechanisms of life, let's smash some illusions about theories of evolution. First, there's the matter of just what a species is. Believe it or not, that's still an open question among biologists. Ask most reasonably diligent high school students, and chances run high that they'll be able to tell you what a species is, because the books are very clear. But the truth of the matter is, folks, they don't know what a species is. Okay, that was in 01. Maybe we've learned a little since then. No, not really. How about 02? Biologists sometimes disagree on how best to define a species. Even in 02, they didn't know what a species. Well, that was a long time ago. Maybe we learned a little. No, not really. How about 04? New Scientist. Rethinking the names of every organism on the planet is a radical step, but it might be worth the upheaval. In 04, they acknowledge that the entire classification system doesn't even work. Well, that was 04, a long time ago. Maybe we learned a little. No, not really. How about 08? What is a species? To this day, scientists struggle with that question. At least 26 published concepts attempt to provide a definition of what a species is. That's 08. Oh, a long time ago. Maybe we learned. I don't know what's cutting out here. But anyway, maybe we learned a little since. No, not really. How about 2012? The species concept problem. No two scientists will agree on the universal definition of what the things are. Look at this. I believe, I view, I believe, I agree, I understand. Look what it says. The latter is unacceptable, and the former may give a misleading foundation for other areas of study. Folks, I could go on for hours with this. They don't have a clue even what a species is. Here's the point. Why would I ever want to take what thus saith the Lord says and rework it into man-made terminologies when man doesn't even know what his own terms mean? Folks, don't do that kind of thing. Listen, when you're talking about the Bible on any topic, stick to what the Bible says. Don't let them define the terms. Anyway, let's look at a little science right quick. The first law of thermodynamics basically says that matter and energy cannot be created or destroyed. Now, they convert back and forth, but let's deal with matter for a minute. Listen, okay, you got to really listen close. Let everybody tune in real close. This is deep. This is deep, okay? Do you realize, everybody in this room, do you realize that you are really in this room? Everybody's okay with that. Okay, it's deep, isn't it? Folks, I talk to people all the time. You just think we're here. It's really weird, man. just really weird.
There was a guy one time, a college kid came up and wanted to argue with me after service one time, and he wouldn't get anywhere. He was getting frustrated. So he started, you know, about 30, 40 minutes of arguing, but you know, he starts bouncing up and down, he's gritting his fist and his teeth, and he says, "You know, if you get right down to it, you can't even prove I'm standing right here in front of you." And I looked at the guy, and I'm telling you, if that ever happens to you, seriously, you just want to punch him. And then ask him a question. "Hey, did you feel that?" Maybe you just thought you felt it. You know, that's all it was. Folks, we're here. Now, let's think it through logically. We are here. Now, if we are here, and it's not just one big, bad, giant dream, if we're really here, how did we get here? Listen, either this place made itself, which if this place has the ability to make itself, then we should worship that sun. We should worship that water. We should worship that mountain. We should worship that tree, because that stuff can make itself out of nothing, man. It's obviously greater than we are. Or somebody put this place here. Well, if somebody put this place here, we need to find out who that somebody is and worship that somebody, because he's obviously greater than we are. Folks, you realize we're here. Either this place put itself here or somebody put it here. It's really the only options we have. Now, the devil didn't want anybody to believe in the beginning God did anything, so he's very successfully attacked the very first verse with this whole Big Bang nonsense. But even that is ridiculous. Look at this thing. Is the theory at the modern heart of cosmology deeply flawed? Why, our best explanations of how the universe evolved must be fixed or replaced. Folks, they don't have a clue. Here's another example. Not too long ago, is the Big Bang and all that came from it a holographic mirage from another dimension? Look at this. Problem number one, we don't understand the five parameters. Problem number two, we don't really understand inflation. Problem number three, we don't understand how it all began. It goes on and on. Folks, they don't have a clue. They don't have a clue. But people leave church because they've been taught something that contradicts what the Bible says. All too often, see, people don't get the science publications. They don't go to science symposium. They don't know the truth of the behind-the-scenes stuff. They're just left with a false impression of what the books and the state park displays and the national park displays and the McDonald's Happy Meal cups say. It doesn't mean it's true at all, but it's presented as that way. Anyway, the second law of thermodynamics basically says if you leave something alone, it's going to fall apart. You could take a stroll through your house, man. If you own it, you have to wash it and wax it and sand it, scrape it, paint it, oil it, tend it. You got to care for it. Folks, everything is falling apart. But all those laws that govern the universe, the first law we saw, the second law is in the Bible also, everything, God's the one that put it here. He obviously told us what he did. You know, the second law is in Hebrews and in Psalms, talking about the foundations of the earth and the heavens, they shall perish. They shall wax old, as doth the garment. You know, the Bible says everything is falling apart. Well, evidence confirms everything is falling. Even our bodies. Have you ever noticed the older you get, skin just doesn't have that youthful appearance it once did, you know? Have you ever noticed the older you get, the energy's just not there? The 90-year-olds don't keep up with the high school kids, okay? Have you ever noticed the older we get, our hair turns colors, and then it falls out? Actually, with a lot of guys, it doesn't fall out. It just moves with the eyebrows and the ears. Have you ever noticed that? And the nose. Don't forget the nose. It's like, dude. Anyway, but folks, everything is falling apart, and the evidence confirms it. The idea that a Big Bang can create a gradual molding of order out of chaos is nonsensical at best. But folks, it totally violates scripture. It totally violates the laws of science. It totally violates common sense. It's not even so common anymore. It violates observation. It violates everything. But so many people believe it happened. The odd illusion, what does the magnificence of the universe have to do with God? The whole article is talking about how nothing. Folks, that's crazy. This magnificent universe is obviously designed and put there. You know, the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 1, tail end of verse 20, "Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world?" Folks, the wisdom of this world is foolishness when you get right down to it. Now, probably everybody in this room's used a product like this. You have a church mouse problem, right? You have a mouse in the house. Okay, so we use it, but we don't even look at it closely. Do you know the good stuff you give that rascal to attract him is 99.995%? Do you know the poison only amounts to 0.005%? Folks, do you understand that a whole lot of good and just a little bit of poison can have deadly effects? I want you to think of all the poison mixed into our society today. Folks, it's way more than 0.005%. You know what we need in this country? You know what God would like to use in this country? Some people are willing to put their sports aside for a bit. Some people are willing to put their toys aside for a little while. Some people are willing to take up their cross daily and put themselves down for just a little while and step up to the plate and say, "Here am I, Lord. I'll do something for you. What do you want me to do?" And then do it without compromise. Folks, it's so important. These plants and animals live thousands and millions, even billions of years. Now, folks, that's another thing. They say science proves everything is billions of years old. Now, first of all, it doesn't prove that. First of all, by definition, science can never prove something is billions of years old. It's impossible, because to be science, you have to observe it. Well, you can't observe that kind of time frame. You can only believe it. To be science, you have to do an experiment and show it. You can't do an experiment and show it. You can believe it. It's an article of faith. But let's suppose it did. Do you realize that same good science absolutely confirms there is no such thing as a virgin birth? Do you realize good science says everybody in this building weighs too much to walk on water? You cannot do it. Do you realize absolute good science says if you're dead, you are not going to get back up several days later? Folks, do you realize even if good science absolutely proves something, if that science violates this book, that science is wrong. God wants that axe head to float, it's going to float, whether it can scientifically or not. That's not the issue at that point. It's so important that we understand that. Anyway, the majority opinion, think about this, only 8 people got on the ark. You know, folks, think about what the majority opinion and how wrong it was. Now, Noah is not hiding his faith in the closet. He is building this enormous boat on dry land for everybody to see. And nobody believed him. Folks, aren't we glad Noah had the faith to stand in the face of total opposition? Folks, we need some Noahs in our society today, big time. People that will stand no matter what. You know, Dino Don writes in several publications, Highlights for Children happens to be one of them. He's a dinosaur expert. Write your question, he'll give you the answer. All right. So this one writes in, this fellow writes in, says, why do dinosaur books have conflicting facts? Now, that's a valid question. Listen, if a T-Rex was this tall, head was this big, tooth was this long, arm was this long, you know, hip was this high, why don't all the books say the same thing? That's a valid question for a child to have. Okay, look at this expert's answer right here. Dinosaur books have different information for at least 2 reasons. The first is the people who wrote the books might have made mistakes. True. The second reason is that many of the details, which we often call facts, are really conclusions of scientists who have studied the evidence. These conclusions often change as new evidence is found, so we no longer believe what we once thought was right. That's powerful. But it's in all science centers, too. Next time you go to a museum, science center, whatever, look for this stuff. It's amazing. St. Louis Science Center, a good example. Facts supporting accepted theories change. Well, folks, how can the facts change? Listen, this is a fact. This staircase right here, or whatever you want to call it, is made out of wood. That is a fact. It's not going to change into plexiglass. It's wood. That's a fact. This is a fact. This is wood. That's not going to change next week and be plastic. Okay? It's not going to change next week and be marble unless somebody replaces it. But it's a fact. It's wood. But a fact can't change. Now, a person's totally free to believe it's plexiglass if they want to. But it's a fact what it is. This is amazing because it's in all textbooks too. Look at this. Again, very, very popular biology textbook. What science is and is not. This book contains lots of facts and ideas about living things. Many of those facts are important and you'll be tested on them. For one thing, you can be sure that some facts presented in this book will change soon if they haven't changed already. Teacher, I'm confused. What part of the book am I supposed to believe? Folks, do you understand how crazy this is? Do you understand the right answer in class today is the wrong answer in the same class tomorrow? That's crazy. Folks, do you understand you can't get a book, they cannot get a book off the printing presses with the pages still warm. You smear the ink. That's correct. But ours was written thousands of years ago, and it's still correct. Folks, what are we looking for something else for? It makes no sense, man. Now watch this thing, America's first family. So America's first family is, we think, George Washington, Ben Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, John Jay. Not in this one. But by the way, when I took this picture, I don't have time to give you the full story, but we were on board the USS George Washington aircraft carrier, man. It was awesome. Get to sit in the commanding officer's chair here, you know, just the red phone up here, the old president on the other end of the line stuff, and our son gets to steer the thing at the helm. It was awesome, man. It was just awesome. But anyway, but the fact of the matter is, bottom line is, because I wish I had time to give you the whole story, every aircraft carrier the U.S. government has a full set of our DVD stuff series on it with commitments from every one of the chaplains to show them in 1-hour Bible study segments. That's cool. And we get contact from, people come up to me in meetings sometimes, man, and say, tell me which aircraft carrier they were on. And yeah, man, we were watching your stuff. Or they come up and say, Steve Grohman, Creation Center. I know the name. I know it. And then they realize, oh, that's who you are. You know, that kind of thing. Folks, do you realize God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things if we'll just step up to the plate and do it? It's just awesome, man. But anyway, but America's first families, we think George Washington, Ben Franklin, nah, not in this one. They're talking trilobites and 500 million years ago. And they say trilobites are more than halfway between first simple living things and ourselves. America's first families, they're saying this is Grandpa right here. Okay. I don't think so. But anyway, we have some grandpas, big ones and little ones. We have some on the table back there perhaps. But anyway, bottom line is anybody can believe that we came from that if they want to, but it's not science. Here's another example. This is a nearly 3.4 billion years old of the remains of early ancestors of modern human beings. Yeah, we came from starfish and trilobites. I don't know about that, man, but that's what's being taught. Here's another, folks, again, you look high and low these days. Where are the people that'll simply step up to the plate? How about here? Contenders for the crown. Two dinosaurs that basically look identical, okay? And look what it says. Double take. The Gigantosaurus and the Tyrannosaurus never met. They're not even closely related, but the similarities are colossal. Okay, wait a minute. Two dinosaurs that look basically identical are not even closely related, but we came from a starfish. I'm seriously missing something. I hope none of you kids believe any of this kind of stuff that's going on around the school systems and museums and state parks. And here, new fossil worms in the rock record. Well, what's the big deal about this worm? Well, it's ancestral to humans. Yeah, your grandpa was a one-inch worm. Now, folks, anybody can believe this way, but it's not science. Yeah, but here, humans probably evolved from bacteria that lived more than 4 billion years ago. I mean, here's another one. Humans and yeast share common ancestors. Now, folks, understand something. Science is observing and testing and doing experiments. They say we don't have any science. All we have is a silly, old-fashioned religious book. Folks, God says everything reproduces in that book, everything after his own kind. We have the science to show it. The very same system out, the evolutionary system, no matter where it's being taught from, all the way down to something as simple as, again, a McDonald's Happy Meal cup, everybody teaches we came from starfish and trilobites and worms and frogs and monkeys. There's no science for that. Folks, they're the ones with nothing but belief on their side. We're the ones with all of the science on our side. And we have nothing to hide from at all. It's absolutely amazing. Oh, I just got to skip through a bunch of more stuff for time. But anyway, coelacanth is our closest living relative. Our closest living relative without legs. That's a wild one. You know, folks, please understand something. Our son, he graduated two colleges just last month. I mean, time goes so fast, just absolutely so fast. He was at Texas Bible College and at Angelina College, graduated both of them. I mean, two full schools and worked and everything. Turned out to be an awesome young man. But you know, the reality is, folks, it goes that fast. However old you are, think how quick you got there. However old your kids are, think how quick they got there. Folks, you got to understand something. That time goes so fast. You know, we sell our kids short way too often. Do you realize we think, oh, they're just kids. We'll get to that later. You know, folks, Disney knows. Disney knows. You go get the latest DVD, some silly kids movie or something, put it in the machine. Let your five-year-old watch that thing. And that child, after watching it one time, will be walking all around the house reciting that thing verbatim. Disney knows that he can give them some information, that they can give them some information, and they remember that stuff. And we, you know what it is? We just are lazy. We just don't want to do the effort to do the right thing. Folks, we've got to get our priorities right, and our kids are our number one priority. We got to get it right. So anyway, people say, Steve, what's your point, man? The Bible's not a science textbook. It's true, the Bible's not a science textbook, but it has science in it. And folks, no matter what the Bible's talking about, it's true. So we need to understand that kind of thing. You know, most people get their information about the Bible from a source other than the Bible. And a lot of times those sources aren't even right. We teach our kids songs. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, and walls came tumbling down. Song, but it's not what the Bible says. The Bible says the walls came down, then they fought the battle. Think of all the depictions of Noah's Ark. It's always this nice, cute, happy-go-lucky party barge. It's like a Saturday afternoon happy boat ride. I mean, windows all over the place, two-by-two smiley face animals. Folks, that's not what the Bible says. It was a serious disaster that killed everything that's not on the boat. That's pretty heavy duty. The top cubit was where the window was. What a bunch of little windows all over the place. The Bible says he let out a raven and a dove. That's a blackbird and a white bird. You'll always see two white birds in the sky. One has something green in his mouth. That's not what the Bible says. But this is the impression people get growing up. Here's another one. The lion and the lamb will lie down again. Makes great pictures and posters and quilts and paintings. There's nowhere in the Bible you can find the lion and the lamb lie down together. It's not in there. But boy, it makes for great religious argument and religious paraphernalia. Sells a bunch of it, but it's not in the Bible. See, most people learn about the Bible from a source other than the Bible. And a lot of times those sources aren't right. So we need to go about and see what it says. Here's the problem. This is a serious deal right here. We teach our kids Bible stories. Look at this thing. Here's another one. All right, everybody, please, look at here. Five-minute Bible stories. Do Do you realize what this is teaching our kids? Just give me 5 minutes. We got just 5 minutes. That's all we did. Just 5 minutes. You go out and play all day long. You go play all night long. Just 5 minutes. All we ask. Just 5 minutes. 5 minutes. That's all. Just go out and do all your work. Just 5 minutes. That's all. Folks, do you see how backwards that is? And then we expect those children to grow up and all of a sudden have some importance to God and Bible. Just 5 minutes. That's all we need. Just real quick. Wait a minute, man. Our priorities are backwards. Go play all day long and just 5 minutes quickly. Oh, come on. Just 2 more minutes. Almost done. No. Folks, we're messed up. We need to put the importance where it needs to be. We've got it backwards big time too often, you know? But anyway, I'm telling you, there's just so much. But here's the thing, folks. We teach our kids the cutesy little Bible stories, and then they go and they get the facts. And those facts contradict the cutesy little Bible stories. Folks, I've got in our full series, I show slides right out of the textbooks where it says the theologians are wrong. Where it says the parents don't know, where it says the church is wrong, where it says there is no God. And then the child comes home to mom and dad's answer usually is, I don't know anything about that stuff, honey, I was never good in science. Just keep believing God and everything's going to be fine. Folks, we can't tell a kid that in today's society. Man, they're calling it facts, and they're not facts, but they're calling them facts. They're saying the Bible's wrong. They're saying mom and dad, pastor, the church, and the Bible doesn't have answers. And then it's proven to be right in their minds. And you repeat that process over and over, they're going to grow up and some of them are going to believe that stuff. Look at this thing. 15 answers to creationist nonsense. Scientific American. Watch this. They have this. I'll focus on this one page. They have this big column here. It says evolution. Then down here it says one little old book says creationism. Folks, while I'm thinking about it, please understand something and take this to heart. If you use the word creationism, kick it out of your vocabulary. Refuse to say that word ever again. That is just like the species issue. That is them defining the terms. When you add ism to a word, you are admitting it's just a philosophical belief. It's just a system. Folks, it's not creationism. You'll notice they don't say evolutionism. It's not just a belief in it. No, folks, it is creation. It's not just creationism. That's them defining the terms right there. So don't use that word because that's their ideas and such. But anyway, look, they have this big column here. It says evolution and one little old book, creationism. Look what it says right here. A Gallup poll from 1999, a National Science Board poll from 2000, both reveal that close to half the American public rejects evolution. Inadequate education plays a part in this. Confidence in evolution grows with schooling. Folks, that ought to make our toenails curl up right backwards. That's sobering in my mind. I mean, here's another one. Support for Darwin increases with level of education. Here's another one. In science, we trust. Here's another one. Climate deniers are accused of practicing pseudoscience as our intelligent design creationists. I mean, it's just absolutely amazing, folks. You know what they know? Just let me have your kids just a little bit longer, and we'll get them indoctrinated well enough. And, folks, it's sobering. We better pay attention. It's not a joke. The Lord says here, Matthew 19:4, have ye not read? Come on, you know this, right? He which made them at the beginning made the male and female. Over in Mark 10:6, he nails it down even better. Watch this now. The Lord talking, but from the beginning of the creation, God made the male and female. And he's talking about Adam and Eve. The way we know that for sure is the context is marriage, divorce, remarriage, and such. Puppy dogs don't get married. Cabbage doesn't get married. He's talking about mankind. He says Adam and Eve were here from the beginning of the creation. You'll notice he didn't say it was a beginning of another creation. He didn't say it was the beginning of a recreation. He didn't say it was a spiritual beginning for this creation. He says Adam and Eve are here from the beginning of the creation. Folks, do you realize God Almighty speaks this place into existence? And it climaxes with the creation of Adam and Eve. Now that same God who spoke this place into existence is now walking the planet. He remembers what he did. He's confirmed Adam and Eve are here from the beginning of the creation. He confirmed, if you don't believe what Moses wrote, you can't believe in him. Folks, this is sobering stuff. This is serious, serious stuff here. So anyway, if that's true, then there ought to be some evidence. If we can find out when Adam and Eve were here, we can find out how old everything is when it all started, because that's what Jesus said. Well, you can take it's been done many times, graph this stuff back to where the time when Adam and Eve were here, and in a nutshell, roughly around between 6,000 and 7,000 years. That's when everything started. So there ought to be some evidence then. Well, let's check it out. Astronomy Magazine, December 1989. If New Year's Eve seems a little long this year, there's a good reason. They announced that 1989 will be exactly one full second longer than a normal year. The Earth's rotation is gradually slowing down. Okay, that was 89 to 90. 90 to 91, give one last tick. The Earth is slowing down. 92, 93, 94, 2000, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. All the folks just the other day. In fact, you can go to U.S. Naval Observatory's website, Time Service Department, NASA's website. Just type in leap seconds in the search engine. You'll get some cool stuff. This was talking about how the Earth is constantly undergoing a deceleration caused by the breaking action of the tides. Here's another example. Just June 30th of 2015, they had to add a second to the clock because of Earth's ever-slowing rotation. Folks, here's the thing in a nutshell. This Earth is spinning, but as it is spinning, it is not spinning steadily. It is getting slower. Why? That means that it used to be spinning faster, right? This thing was spinning faster last year than it is right now. It was spinning faster than that the year before, 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 the year before. You go back in Adam and Eve's days, that's no problem. Their days and nights are just a few minutes shorter than ours. But they want us to believe dinosaurs died 65 million years ago. If they lived back then, I know what killed these guys. They were blown off the surface of the earth, man. They couldn't hold on. It was like living in a strobe light. Day, night, 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 day. What'd you get done today, honey? Not much. I don't know. I was just so tired. I mean, observable, predictable, measurable, calculable. Folks, do you understand? This place is not very old. There are all kinds of evidences for this. How about stalactites, stalagmites? They say they take millions and millions of years to form. Not true. Jerry Trout is a cave specialist for the Arizona Forest Service. He's a high school science evolutionary geology teacher, okay? I've talked to several people over the years that were his students back in the days. But anyway, look at this quote of his. From 1924 to 1988, there was a visitor sign above the entrance to Carlsbad Caverns. They said Carlsbad was at least 260 million years old. In 1988, the sign was changed to read 7 to 10 million years old. Then for a little while, the sign read 2 million years old. Now the sign is gone. Folks, how do you take 250 million years and eliminate them with a paintbrush? How do you do that? It's not true. See, it's only a man-made idea in the first place. Man, therefore, has the authority to modify it. If you decide you want to paint your bedroom yellow, you can change it to pink one day if you want to. You can change it to blue one day if you want to. It's your idea. You can do whatever you want to with it. But see, when we're talking about this one, it's already forever settled in heaven. See, we don't have the authority to manipulate it, change it, and it stays strong just the way it is. We've been to Carlsbad times. There are no signs out there anymore that have anything to do with the time element on them. All kinds of places where buildings, bridges, overpasses, and such flowstone formations growing all throughout all this stuff. There was a one-inch water pipe left running for 100 years in Thermopolis, Wyoming. This is a huge flowstone formation that was formed in 100 years. I mean, these things grow rapidly. How about the, let me skip through, watch this. Mississippi drops water down the Gulf of Mexico. 15,000 navigable miles of waterways feed the Mississippi. Well, along with all that water, the Mississippi also puts 80,000 tons of mud per hour into the Gulf of Mexico. Well, they know how big that delta is. They know the flow rate is coming in. They know how much is in there. Put the numbers on a calculator. That delta is about 4,400 years old. I happen to have a pretty good idea about that. See, around 6,000 years ago, God kicked this thing off. About 4,400 years ago, big flood, lots of damage. So to find that's what it is, not a problem for me. How about these bristlecone pine trees? These things are awesome. The bristlecone pines, the textbooks say they're the oldest living plants in the world. How old are the oldest living plants in the world? Well, they're about 4,300 years old. Folks, do you understand the powerful, thus saith the Lord, evidence we have? Do you realize if this place has been around for billions of years and the Bible's wrong, or there is no such thing as what it says, then there ought to be something out there older than when God said he wiped it all out. But see, the Bible says around that 4,400 year ago mark, there was a big flood that destroyed everything. So to find out the oldest living thing on this planet is just a little less in age than when God said he destroyed it all, that's powerful evidence right there that God's word is truth. Folks, we've been to, there are about five locations where these bristlecone trees grow in this country. We've been to all of them, and they're 4, 5, 6, 8 mile hike in to go see them. But man, it's like, I want to pet one of these babies, man. I want a picture with these things. These things were alive while Noah's walking the planet. Individual trees, that's awesome. We actually got a chance to go see the largest bristlecone in the world. There's Paul, our son, right there. This thing's monstrous, man. Our GPS shows we're hiking at 11,400 feet up. It's awesome, man. We got to see the oldest one also. Just fascinating stuff. But folks, the Lord says, Luke 12:51, suppose ye not come to give peace on earth as a question, I tell you nay, but rather division. Now folks, think of this through. And don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying everybody be belligerent, ugly, rude, nasty, mean. That's not, be as polite, kind, and courteous as you can. But folks, I'm telling you, if you take a stand for something the Bible says, you are going to ruffle up some feathers. Because men love darkness rather than light. See, the Bible's true. And if we're going to take that stand, all them live godly in Christ Jesus shall receive persecution. Okay, so where's our persecution? Maybe we're not so Christ-like after all. I'll tell you what, you step up to the plate, take an absolute stand, you're going to upset some folks. Now try to be as kind as you can, but don't let it surprise you. Don't let it keep you and put you into fear and keep you from doing what you're supposed to. God said it's going to happen. It happened to his own people, you know? I mean, in this issue, people say, well, it's okay to teach evolution. It is just a theory after all. Well, it's not even a theory. But even that, why teach a theory when you have the truth? Folks, why would we ever want to teach our kids something contrary to what the truth is? We ought to teach evolution maybe to show how silly it is. Never. as a viable alternative to what God says. No way. Anyway, this is in a biology textbook. Scientific creationists talking about it here. They say our conclusions can be reached only on the basis of faith alone. They are untestable and as such lie outside the realm of science. I'm going to make a, that's not true. I'll make a test. I'll make a prediction that you could test that cows are going to give birth to cows. Do you know that everybody in this room that wears glasses, the reason you wear glasses is because something's gone wrong right here. Okay, maybe you can't see close, maybe you can't see far, maybe you can't see either. But the fact of the matter is, the top evolutionists this world has to offer know full well, when these things start to change, they go to somebody that knows how to fix them back up the way they used to be. Because that's the way they were supposed to be. Do you realize the top evolutionists on this planet know full well, the slightest change in their own body is a bad thing. Something is going wrong. Well, can you imagine all the enormous amount of change for everything on the planet to evolve up from something else other than itself? I mean, all this change that would have had to happen when the evidence staring us in the face says the slightest change is a problem. It's not going to turn into something better. Next time growth starts growing out the side of you somewhere, just let it go. Maybe you're going to evolve into something that, no, you're not going to do that. No, something's bad, wrong. I need to fix that thing. You get my point, I hope. Folks, we've got all the evidence on our side. Anyway, as we get ready to wrap it up, though, I got to get you out of here quickly. I want to mention again, my wife has her table back here. We have different DVDs and CDs and books and resource materials and such. And I do want to say this, as you folks know more than I do, and I do because it's been hammered into me, so I understand, but you know it more well than I do. The clock ticks away, and 9 o'clock, the door's got to be shut. So if you want to see that what's at the table, the DVDs and the books and the resource materials, please, after service, just hurry. That's all I can say. Because I understand we've got to get out, so we got to have time to pack up what's left. So if y'all just buy everything that's back there, and we don't have to pack anything, then we can stay till 1 till, you know. But anyway, but we have books, for kids and for, you know, parents and such. My wife has written 3 books, and her name was Noah's Wife is the first one. And, you know, think about this, folks, too. What was Noah's wife's name? We don't even know. But do you know that Noah was not in this thing on his own? He had a wife. He had a spouse. And that spouse was a major person, major player in that boat ride. That boat ride would not have been the same without her. And we don't even know her name. You know, a lot of times there's an evangelist flies off over here, flies off over there, flies here, there, drives here, there, and they never even see their own family. The Bible says the two should be one. But the reality is, more often than not, that person has a spouse. A lot of times that person is a major part of that ministry. You know, people don't even know her name. But you know what? So anyway, she wrote a book about our life's journeys and such from an evangelist wife's perspective. It's a great, great, great read. And people love that book because it's just real. That's all. Anyway, and then she has 2 of them often on the beaten path, the Unclassic Road Trip back there. Also, we've been on the road a long time, folks. Over 22 years full time. We've been in every state many times over. There are a lot of neat things to do and see and history stuff and all that kind of thing in this country. Everywhere. And so anyway, she's got the eastern portion of the country book done, and the central portion's done, and the western portion's almost done. The western book is almost done, but just ideas. It's a great homeschool study guide companion type book. It's a great travel guide book. It's a great history lesson book. It's a great just compiling all the different things over the years that we've been able to experience and such. Just fascinating. We have some really neat fossils back there too, but be sure and check that out. But I know you do have to hurry at it, I guess. But anyway, the Bible says here, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Folks, if somebody didn't even have a fear of the Lord, they don't even have the beginning of knowledge, much less anything that comes after that. Watch Judges 2:10. And also all the generation were gathered unto the fathers, and rose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. Folks, that verse is being played out before our very eyes today. We are raising yet another generation that knows not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done in the USA. Talking about the ways of the Lord, thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Talk to them. Sit in the house. Walk by the way. Lying down and rising up. Folks, we got to get involved while we barely can. Parents don't teach their kids at all about the Bible anymore. We just don't do it. We don't even eat dinner together anymore as a family these days. People don't. But folks, do you realize we don't even teach our kids in the first place, much less diligently. Folks, we need to do what it says. And, you know, that's why I so appreciate being able to go into public school settings. I don't care if it's elementary school, middle school, high school, colleges, universities, whatever. I don't care if it's one school, one class, one time, full school assembly, after school, volunteer. I don't care which. I'll take whatever I can get. Because sometimes I realize, I know full well, I may be the only voice that some of these people ever hear about creation. And that's sobering responsibility, folks. But we got to realize, you got friends and family and neighbors that are in that same kind of position. And I want to encourage you about this. I usually say this as far as inviting people to our meetings. But it's the same as just inviting them to church. Let me give you an example of something. You know, a lot of times we judge whether we're going to talk to somebody about God based on how we think they're going to receive us. That's crazy. We don't have a clue how they're going to receive us. Anyway, 2 years ago, we were, actually it was 2012, we were doing a meeting in Omaha, Nebraska, a creation seminar in Omaha, Nebraska. And on Saturday, Dana and Paul, my wife and son, we were just talking about what are we going to do today. I said, let's go invite Warren Buffett out to the meeting. They look at me and say, what? Yeah, let's go invite Warren Buffett out to the meeting. Okay. So we get in the car, away we go. Paul said, our son, he said, Dad, I've done a lot of things with you. He said, I'm going because I want to see this. But I am sitting in the driver's seat. The car is going to be pointed down the driveway, and it's going to be running. And if I have to bail, I'm out of here. And I told my wife, I said, that's okay, Paul, you do that. But I said, I told Dana, I said, you're coming with me because you're taking pictures. So we go right up to Warren Buffett's house, man, right at the front door. Knocked on the door. No answer. So we go through the back, man, around the back side. We go to the back door. Knock on the back door. No answer. We just go right up to his house. And he wasn't there. He's out of the country, but we didn't know it at the time. We're there. So anyway, we invite him. You know, we had to invite him. So anyway, he wasn't there, so the church had done some flyers. So we just took the backside of one of those flyers, and we put a, just, you know, be honored to have you come out as a guest at a meeting and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, and so that's all we could do. We just leave it at the door because he's not home, you know. So anyway, a year later, we go back out. In addition to a creation seminar, we also have a walk in faith ministry, which is, use the word healing and deliverance. I hate to use it that way because it, you know, conjures up ideas or whatever. Just teaching people what the Bible says, you know, and let them understand it. We see about 150 issues people get delivered from every week that we do the meeting. But anyway, but a year later, we're doing that meeting, kind of meeting at the same church 1 year later. So Paul's not with us, so I went up, I told Dana, I said, let's go. So we go to Warren Buffett's house. I did get to talk to him this time. I said, you know, you probably remember this because I'm sure it doesn't happen much. People just come up to your house too much. But a year ago, we were here to do 5 services, 2 hours each, talk about creation versus evolution, came to invite you. You weren't here. So we left a flyer at your door. I said, but you'll probably remember that. And I said, but now we're here. We're just going to be teaching on some other things is what I said. And we just want to invite you. Come out to the meeting. And he said, yes, I do remember that flyer. He said, I did get that. I appreciate that. And he said, you're right. People don't just come up to my house too much around here. You know, they just don't do that. And he said, listen, I appreciate the invite this time, but I must respectfully decline. I said, okay. No problem. It's not my job to tie him up and drag him. It's just my job to invite him. Right. 2 years ago, we were at College Station, Texas. Found out Chuck Norris lives 20 miles away. Let's go. So we went to Chuck Norris's house. And we went there, and he wasn't there. We did get to talk to his bodyguard, security guard people. But can you imagine the tryouts to be Chuck Norris's bodyguard? I mean, just kind of let that settle in for a minute. It's just crazy. But anyway, but he wasn't there. He was in Hawaii at the time. But we didn't know that, so we just invited him while we're there, you know. But anyway, then a year later, we were at the same church doing our walk of faith meetings. And I told Dana, I said, let's go. So we went back out to Chuck Norris's house, you know. And at that time, I did get to talk to his wife. And I just invite him out, you know, hey, we'd love to see you come out and be our guest, you know, at the meeting and such. And they never showed up. But then just 2 months ago, whatever, after we do our Walk of Faith meeting, we have a Walk of Faith workshop series that we do. And so to help break things down better. So we were doing that at this church a year later, which was just the other day, about a month and a half or what ago. So we went back out there again. None of them were home again. But my point is this, folks, with this kind of stuff, okay? Do you know what Chuck Norris needs more than another TV contract? He needs the truth. Do you know what Warren Buffett needs more than another $1 billion? He needs the truth. Folks, do you know what that state trooper that pulled you over the other day, remember, insurance is probably going to drop you on this one. You can't afford another ticket. You know what he needs more than anything in the world? He needs the truth. Folks, do you know what that Assembly of God pastor down the road needs more than anything in the world? He needs the truth. Hey, do you know what that, you know what the mayor needs more than anything in the world? The truth. Do you know what everybody in this room needs more than anything in the world? We need the truth. Amen. Folks, you understand, truth is more than Acts 2:38. This thing is truth. Thy word is truth from beginning to end. Folks, do you realize everybody needs the exact same thing? Yes. But again, the problem is we decide whether we're going to go talk to somebody based on how we think they're going to receive us. That's crazy. You know, if you're born again in this room, there's really only one reason. Somebody gave you the truth. Now, people say, well, I didn't, nobody told me anything. I just happened to read a gospel tract. I saw this Oneness of God tract. Well, somebody had to print that tract. Somebody had to put it where you could see it, where you could get it. Folks, you realize it doesn't matter. If you're born again, it's because God moved on you because somebody in some form or fashion gave you the truth. And then all too often, we get born again. We get the truth of, on any given issue with something, and we don't go tell other people about it. Well, folks, aren't we glad whoever gave us the truth, aren't we glad they didn't have our idea how things ought to be? Because that'd be sobering then, because we'd be missing out on a whole lot of stuff. But anyway, but the truth of the matter is, there's always a job to do. Where's the pastor? I think I saw him just go through that wall. Where'd he go? Is he here? I saw him just walk through there, I guess. Somebody's going to be coming out. But anyway, folks, again, we're basically going to be done here this evening. I'm just going to turn it over to the pastor, but I don't know where he went. He went, I guess you guys got a lot of packing up to do because I want somebody just to end out the service for us. But again, my wife has her table back here, folks. I can't stress it enough. I know the clock's going to tick away in a hurry. But so if you want to take a look at the table there and perhaps purchase some of the DVDs, the CDs, the books. We have, aside from the full creation series, seminar series, we have extra DVDs also because they're just things we can't get to typically. You know, I mean, there's just a certain amount of time. But anyway, I appreciate the opportunity to be here. I appreciate your attention, attentiveness, and such. And I know I talked kind of slow, but I had a lot of stuff I wanted to try to get to. So hopefully it was enough to get some information out there for you. Thank you.